Today we are going to study from Book of St. John, chapter 4. St. John, chapter 4, starting from verse 3.
He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour.
Jesus Christ, starting his journey from Galilee, and he goes to Judea, and he wants to go back to Galilee. But this time he said, I have to go through Samaria. I must go through Samaria. And I was thinking, maybe when he started his journey from Galilee to Judea, Samaria comes in the middle. But at that time, maybe he wanted to go and he could not go. But this time when he's going back to Galilee, he says, I must go through Samaria this time. And he comes to Samaria and he finds Jacob's well. And he came there and sat on that well. And the word of God says he was very tired because of his journey. You can see somebody traveling from Galilee to Judea. It's a long, long journey. And now he wants to go back to Galilee. But he said, this time I'm going to go through Samaria. And he says, in some Bible says he needed to go, and some Bible he says he must go. So he decided to go, and he was thinking about the Samaria. The Samaritan people had no good dealing with Israeli people, but those people still abiding by Jewish culture and Jewish law, and they were thinking about the same Jewish God. So here he is sitting, and the word of God says it was sixth hour, means it was a noonday, very hot, maybe summertime. And so Jesus Christ is weary, he is tired, and his disciples, they went to town to get some food. From that you know, he was hungry and thirsty and tired, but he was just sitting there. Jesus knew everything, who is coming and why he was sitting at that well. He might have gone with them to the same time, but I believe he thought in his heart, he saw in his vision, there is a one lady coming every day, middle of the noonday, and nobody's talking to her. And Jesus said, I must go to Samaria. Maybe he had in his mind to talk to this Samaritan woman. Verse 7.
There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink.
The Samaritan woman coming in the middle of the noonday to fill the water. In America, we don't have to go and fill the water because we have water in our house. Maybe in a village or somewhere you're living and you don't have a tap water, maybe that you will be filling it. But here is Samaritan village. All the ladies might be going early in the morning to get the water. And this lady is not going with them. There is some reason. Because when the ladies get together, they will talk. They will ask everyone's news. So this lady knew that I don't want to go when these other ladies are. I'm going to go to the noonday and there will be nobody. And that's the reason she came alone to get the water. But I believe when that lady coming from far away she might have seen one man sitting at the well. Normally, some ladies, they are afraid of men. It's a noonday, nobody's around, and the young man sitting at the well. But this lady did not say, I will come later when this man will go away. Maybe she waited for a while and Jesus is not going anywhere and she needed a water. So she thought, I will go and whatever happens, I will face the situation. So when she comes here, she saw a gentleman sitting there, very nice gentleman. He is not attracted to her. He is not saying anything other than he is saying, could you give me a water to drink? And here is the conversation starts. Let's read the verse 8.
For his disciples were gone away into the city to find him.
Now here it is saying, I don't know why they put this verse in middle, but he says his disciples, they were not with him. They went to buy a food. That means he was alone and he's asking the lady, give me some water. Now this lady, if she is a good lady and she doesn't want any kind of fight or argument, simply give him a water. But this lady was a little bit smart lady. She was not only smart, she knew some religious things. So she might be some religious lady also. So here she comes and Jesus asks her a water. See what she says. Verse 9.
Then saith the woman unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
This lady doesn't want to give him water, thinking that these people are prejudiced. They don't have dealing with us. Why should I give him water? And this is what people think. People are so prejudiced. Even though somebody is hungry and thirsty, instead of giving them food, they try to beat them up or kill them for no reason. That's the way the prejudice is. So this lady might be have some bitterness in her heart, and she is thinking, you are a Jewish man, you don't have any good dealing with us, and now you are thirsty. That's why you are asking me water. And so she start arguing with him. Let's read the verse 10.
Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Now Jesus is saying to her, you don't know who is talking with you. And if you knew that someone has the power to give you the gift, then you would know and you would have asked that person who has the power to give you a gift. And I would have given you a living water. Now here Jesus Christ is saying, God has provided you a gift. John 3:16, we know, we read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the gift of God. So he is saying, you do not know yet what God has given to you. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus Christ is saying indirectly, you are a sinner, you need a Savior, and the Savior is talking to you, but you did not recognize the gift of God. Jesus Christ is alive. His disciples, means the preachers of the gospel, preaching the word of God today and telling the people that today is the day of salvation. The grace of God is available, and many people rejecting the gift of God. So Jesus Christ is reminding her, if you knew who is talking to with you, why I'm talking with you, I want to give you something, but you did not understand. Even that this lady did not want any part of Jesus Christ. She did not want to give him a water. Jesus was not saying, I am thirsty. He was really thirsty because it's a noonday, sunny day, traveled a long journey, and he was really thirsty. But this lady didn't want to give him water, and she started trying to play smart that she is a very smart woman, and she knows the Jewish law. She knows about Jacob and Jacob's well, and she knows many other religious things. We don't know why she was talking like that, but Jesus Christ was not paying attention to what she was saying. Jesus Christ had only one thing and one thing in his mind, that he wants to give her the living water. Let's read the verse 11.
The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?
She could not say, listen, I have something to draw the water. I don't want to give it to you. Take these things and draw yourself. But she's making so hard. She's saying, you don't have anything to draw. But she has it. She doesn't want to lend it. But she wants to just argue with him. So she said, you know what? You don't have anything to draw. Well is so deep. And so, how are you going to give me the water? And he says, this is the Jacob's well. Are you greater than Jacob? Because Jacob drank this water. Jacob's children drank this water. And his cattle drank this water. And so you are telling me you are going to give me a better water than the Jacob's well? She didn't understand who Jesus was. And she's asking him, are you greater than the Jacob? Jesus did not say to her, I am greater than Jacob. Because Sadducees and Pharisees asked the same question. At that time, he did not say, I am greater than Jacob or greater than Abraham. But to her, he did not say anything. If you read St. John chapter 8, and starting from verse 53 to 58, please read.
Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took up they stones to cast at him, But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
When these people start asking him, "Are you greater than Abraham?" And he says, "I am before Abraham." That means he was telling, "I am greater than Abraham. Abraham saw me and he was rejoicing." But he did not tell this lady, "I am greater than Jacob," because those people he was talking to, Pharisees, they knew Bible better than her. So Jesus Christ was telling, he is not only greater than Abraham, he is greater than even Solomon, and he is greater than Jonah, and he is greater than the temple where they worshiping. Please read Matthew chapter 12, verse 6.
"But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple."
Verse 41.
"The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here."
Verse 42.
"The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here."
So here he's saying he's a greater than Solomon, he's greater than Jonah, he's greater than temple, he's greater than Abraham, so he's greater than anyone in this world. The Bible says Jesus Christ's name is greater than any other name. There is no other name given that we should be saved. But Jesus Christ did not tell her that so much in detail. He just wanted to let her know that I am talking with you and I have the living water. But if you would have recognized who is talking with you, you would have asked that person, "Give me living water." Let's go back to the St. John chapter 4, verse 13.
"Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life."
Whosoever drinketh of this water, means from this well, that person will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now this lady never heard these things in her life. He says, the water you're talking about, the Jacob's well, and you're asking me, am I greater than Jacob? And Jacob drank this water. But he says, anyone drinks from this well, Jacob or anybody, they will thirst again. But I have the water. My water, if I give it to you, that water will be springing into you in your life like an everlasting life. That water I'm giving is a water, life-giving water. That water will give you eternal life, and you will not thirst again. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never again looking for another Savior, because Jesus Christ is the greatest Savior, and there is none like Jesus. Because people are thinking there might be some other saviors. But you have to ask them, how can the person you thinking he's your God and he's your savior, what did he do for you? How did he save you? Not a single religion has the answer. But the Bible has the answer, because we just read, wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The people who are committing sin, those all people are going to die. But thank God, God provided or eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for us. And we have to just believe that sacrifice Jesus Christ gave, that sacrifice satisfied the heart of God. Now we have to believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and he saved us from sinful life. There is no other God. There is no other Savior gave his life for mankind. The Bible says someone might die for friends, someone might die for their country, but nobody will die for the sinner. Jesus died for the sinners. And when you know that you are a sinner and you need a Savior, that's the time you will understand that Jesus Christ has power to save you from all unrighteousness. So Jesus Christ was telling her, this water you're talking about, that water is not going to quench your thirst. You will thirst again. But I have the water. That water is eternal. And that water will give you eternal life. That water will be springing in your heart all the time. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ will never leave you, never forsake you. Only you can forsake Christ. But Jesus Christ will be always with you. That's the way the Word of God teaches. Okay, let's go to St. John chapter 4, verse 15.
The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
This lady is saying, you know what? If you have that water somewhere, I don't know, you don't have anything to draw from this well, but maybe you have some kind of water. Maybe today some people have some kind of pills. You take this pill and you don't get hungry or you don't get thirsty and you might live 200 years and things like that. There are all kinds of gimmicks. But she's saying maybe you have some water somewhere. So could you give it to me so I don't have to come back and get this water from this well. It's a sunny day, hot day. I'm tired of coming here and I'm hiding from somebody. So I don't have to come here to draw water. Give me that water. See what Jesus says, verse 16.
Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither.
Jesus Christ already knew that she had five husbands. She divorced five times, and now she's living with somebody. She's not married. But Jesus Christ did not say, Hey, lady, you're living in sin. You have five husbands. You are a bad woman. You don't know how to live with one husband. Why did you divorce five times? You confess your sins. Then I'll give that water. Jesus did not condemn her. Jesus simply said, you know what? You told me the truth. So the lady didn't know anything. But he said, you told me the truth. So the lady thinking, this man thinks, I am a woman never married. I am a good lady. And I know so much history about Jewish religion. So she thinking that I'm going to have some more conversation. Yes, read the verse 17, what the woman says.
The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband.
When she said, I have no husband, Jesus did not condemn her right away. He said to her, I know you told me the truth. So sometime when you're talking to somebody and you condemn that person, the conversation will be finished and that person will say, I don't want to hear this, what are you condemning me or my religion or whatever. And that person will stop the conversation and go away. But Jesus Christ was the very good soul winner. And he did not condemn her, but he just told her, you told me the truth. That means the lady might be thinking, I fooled him. I think that I was never married, and I'm a good lady. But Jesus Christ answered her. Let's read the verse 18.
For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly.
Now Jesus Christ is saying, you had five husbands, and now someone is with you. He's not your husband. Means you are not married with him, and you are living together, and you told me the truth. And then some people will be saying, see, this is happening from like a 2,000 years ago. People were living together. So this is 21st century. Why we have to marry? We can still stay together, and nobody will say anything. Now, I was thinking about this woman. Why this lady had five divorces? I think this lady thinks she is so smart. She is arguing with Jesus Christ. So, how many times she might have argued with her husbands? In the olden days, the wife starts saying so smart things, the husband will not like it. In the olden days, ladies will not talk too much. Even that they talking to some man, I'm talking about our country in India, they will be, you know, wearing sari and put the something on their head. And then when they're talking, they will hold that sari and cover their face, and they talk to people. They don't talk openly. But now, Christian women, they don't wear the sari and put it on their head. Only Hindu people, they do that. But when they talk to men, they never show their face and they look down. They don't look at their face. But this lady seems to be very smart, arguing with one husband. That husband left, then that other one got. So she kicked him out. And I don't know, the husband kicking her out or she kicking husband out. We don't know the story. But from this lady's talk, she thinks like she is very smart and she knows everything. And so some people, they're acting very smart. I heard someone went for interview. And the person is taking his interview for a computer job. And the person is asking him, hey, you are asking me so many questions. How about, let me ask you a question, where did you get your training? And how you got this kind of job? Do you think that person is going to hire that person? No. Same way some ladies going to some interviews, and some man is taking interviews. Instead of asking the question, they go and try to be smart, and trying to tell that person, I know better than you, and you don't know certain things, but I'll tell you. Certain things I know that you don't know. If you, in interview, start talking to that person like that, I guarantee you that person will never hire you. So we have to be very humble talking to somebody, even though you know some things, you just keep it to yourself and just answer the question the person is asking. You should not be so much smart. But this lady from her talk, she is so smart. Even the Jesus Christ told her, go and bring your husband, then I'll give you this water. But she said, I don't have a husband. He said, okay, you didn't have a husband. You have five husbands, and you got one. You're living with him. But Jesus did not ask her, why did you divorce five husbands? Did they divorce you, or you divorced them? What is the situation? But he did not get into that. That this lady is a sinner, and she needs the Savior. So let's see verse 19, what she says.
The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet.
I believe, or I understand, or I realize you are a prophet. You telling my past? What happened in my life? How do you know these things? You might be a prophet. So now if she realizes Jesus Christ is the prophet, then she should be more humble and not to argue. But see what she what's happening. Verse 20.
Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship.
You are a Jewish man, and you are telling us we should be worshipped in Jerusalem, but we are worshipping this mountain, and many of our old people, they worship, and you telling us to worship in Jerusalem. So you people are still prejudiced. We cannot go to Jerusalem to worship. We are worshiping here, and you're telling us to worship in Jerusalem. Generally, the Jewish people are thinking they are worshiping God in Jerusalem. We are worshiping God in mountain. So we have no dealing, and we believe what we believe, but you people's beliefs and our beliefs is different. And so she is still arguing, even though she recognized Jesus Christ is a prophet, but she's still talking. Read verse 21.
Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father.
Now Jesus Christ is saying, see, the time is coming. You will not worship in mountain, and you will not able to worship in Jerusalem. Now Jesus Christ was saying the time will come when the Antichrist comes. And the Antichrist will give a hard time. People will not be able to even worship in the temple because he is going to even destroy the worship and stop worshiping in the temple. So he is just trying to tell her, now is the time to find out about real God. If you worship on the mountain or worship in Jerusalem, our God is everywhere, but you have to understand who that God is. Let's read the verse 22.
Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
Again, he says, you worship, and you don't know to whom you are worshiping, but let me tell you, the salvation comes from the Jew. Now, again, when she hears that, she will be thinking the salvation is coming from the Jews and we are Samaritan, so God doesn't care about us. And so he's still talking about the Jewish people, and many people are offended because some people say, why Jesus Christ came as a Jewish man? He should be African. We need a black Jesus. Or somebody says, we need an Indian Jesus, or we need some kind of Chinese Jesus or something like that. Why he has to come as a Jewish Jesus? But you have to see the word of God. When God created mankind from Adam, and then his first son killed his other son, and one son went away. There is no worship, there is nothing. People were depressed. Then God gave him another son called Seth, and Seth's family, there are another person called Enosh, and then they start worshiping God. And Cain's family, they were against God, and they'll be fighting with godly people and ungodly people. The Seth's family, they were called the children of God, and Cain's family, they were almost like a children of devil. So the point I'm making, God cannot use Cain and bring some savior from his family. And the same way when Noah got three children and one person rebelled and told his brethren what mistake father did and nakedness and this and that. So God cursed that person. So God only can use the lineage from Abraham to Christ. So when we read in Matthew chapter, a lineage given from Abraham to Jesus Christ, how the religious or the kingly lineage comes. And when you read in Luke chapter 3, they give from Christ to go back to the Adam is called Son of God. So the point I'm making, God had the connection and he kept the lineage and kept the connection going to bringing the Savior Jesus Christ. It didn't happen in Chinese religion. It didn't happen in Hindu religion. It did not happen in any other Muslim religion. It only happened in a Jewish religion. And Jesus Christ came as a Jew. So the Word of God is saying God has kept the lineage, kept the worshipers, and the Jesus Christ came in the family of Seth. And that's why Jesus Christ is saying that salvation comes from Jews. And that's what the plan of God was. We cannot say why Jesus Christ was not black, or he was not Indian, or he was not Chinese. Jesus Christ came in a lineage of Jewish people, and that's the family God had chosen to bring Jesus Christ into this world. Let's read the verse 23.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
The time is coming, but he says he's already came. I came to tell you about the Father's will. Father is looking for the worshipers who can worship with the spirit and truth. St. John chapter 1, verse 18, he says, no man knew who God was, but the Jesus Christ revealed his Father. He was in the bosom of his Father, and he came and showed who the Father is. Pharisees didn't like it when he said, I came from my Father, and my Father and I are one. They didn't like it. They said, crucify him because he is blasphemy. But here Jesus Christ is saying, Father is seeking the people who can worship him with the spirit and truth. So many people are worshiping today in the whole wide world, but they are not worshiping God with the spirit and truth. They are doing rituals. Hindu people doing rituals. Muslim people do some rituals. And other religion, they're doing some rituals. But they are not seeking God by the spirit. So here the word of God is saying, God is seeking those kind of people. They can worship God with the spirit and truth. Until we recognize our God is spirit, we will not understand who God is. Let's read the verse 24.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Very clearly Jesus Christ is saying, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Many people do not know who God is. Jesus Christ is saying God is spirit. And I came here to tell you that God is in spirit. So no one can see God with their naked eyes. Jesus Christ says he is the only begotten Son of the Father. If you want to see the Father, he says, you have seen me. And my Father and I, we are one. So many people do not know this mystery, but this mystery only you can understand when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in you, and when the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you, then your spiritual eyes opens. Then you can understand Bible very well. Then you can understand the preaching very well. Then you can understand the plan of salvation very well. So you have to be born again. You have to have Spirit of God. Now, there are so many people calling God, God. As I said earlier, they don't know who God is. In India, there are 33 million gods. But if you ask them, could you give me the list of your gods, 33 gods' name, they will be not able to give you the name. Why? Because they themselves do not know. But I know the secret why they said it. At that time, somebody said it, we have 33 million gods. That time, their population was 33 million. So in short, the man was saying, we are all gods. And that philosophy is still today, all Hindu people are thinking, we are God. And they're committing sin. That means their God is committing sin. We cannot say we are God because we are sinners. We receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, recognize that we are sinners, ask God to wash away our sins. When our sins are washed away, then the Spirit of Christ lives in us, the Spirit of God lives in us, and then we know who God is. So many people are blinded, they don't know God, and some people are saying, we don't want to say Jesus Christ is Son of God. We do not believe if there is a God has any son. But the word of God says, I send my son to die for you. And if you don't recognize my son, you do not recognize the plan of salvation, then I will not recognize you. That's why the word of God says, when you pray, you're praying in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the one who gave you salvation. So your prayer should go through Christ. If you pray and just say any prayer and say amen, that prayer did not go anywhere. Or somebody prayed and say praise the Lord, that prayer didn't go anywhere. Because you have to pray in the name of Jesus. So because Jesus Christ gave his life for you, he washed away your sins. So that Jesus Christ only can take your prayer request to the Father. So he said, pray to God in my name. So Jesus' name is very important in our life. Our Savior is Jesus. And we should pray to God through Jesus Christ. But the Muslim people say, we don't believe in Son. We just believe in Father. The word of God says, if you do not recognize my son, I will not recognize you. Because you have to go to Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says in St. John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And if somebody wants to go to Father, they have to go through me. Otherwise, they cannot go to Father because they don't know who Father is. Jesus Christ revealed who Father is. So now we know our God is the Spirit. And when we worship God with the Spirit and truth. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. So we have to go through Christ to worship God. Okay, let's read the verse 25.
The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things.
This lady is not giving up. Jesus Christ told so many things. But she is still thinking, you are just a prophet, but I'm not looking for prophet. I know there are so many other prophets, they might be saying some kind of things, but she said, I'm waiting for the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will tell us everything. And then when he tells everything, then we will learn. She knows some teaching. She knows that Messiah is going to come. And the Messiah will tell them everything about God. So this lady is not an ordinary lady. She knows the Bible. She knows the history. and she thinks she's a spiritual lady, but she's in sin. That's why some people, they think they have a Bible knowledge, and they start opening their churches and preach the gospel and everything, and they never repent of their sins. They live in sin, and they think they can preach others because they know the Bible. It doesn't work that way. I have seen many pastors smoking and drinking, living a sinful life, and preaching others because they might have learned Bible from their childhood. And so this lady might have learned everything about Jesus Christ, but there is no change of heart. She doesn't believe that doing divorce for 5 times is nothing wrong. Because in America, there is a competition. Some lady might say, I divorced 7 times. How many times you divorce? And many people will say, I divorced 7 times, I divorced 9 times, and they're thinking it's a game or something. But Bible says divorce is not the will of God. When you get married, you marry for life. But many people say, oh, my husband is bad, and he tried to kill me, and this and that. But nobody automatically will come and try to kill you. Maybe, as I said, when you clap a hand, you need both hands. So when you're counseling to somebody, you don't take one person's counseling, means one person's problems, and try to answer them. You have to see, I want to talk to your husband also. That's why Jesus Christ said, you know what? I'm talking to you, but I want your husband to be here so I can talk to him also. Many people give counseling to one person. One lady goes for counseling and she says, oh, my husband is this and my husband is bad. My husband gives me a hard time and this and that. And she's a pretty good lady. She said, you know what? Get rid of that man. That's not good for you. And that man might marry her or me suggest somebody to marry her. The point I'm making, there are some counselors sitting there. They don't know Jesus. Their life is bad. And they try to tell somebody to how to live their life. I was reading some books, and some people write a book about the marriage counseling and this and that, and they will tell us how our life was bad and this and that, and they try to give you counseling. Just like somebody comes and gives you some jokes and make you laugh, and you like that person very much because he's a very good comedian. But ask that comedian, are you happy? He might be crying in his house. He might be having lots of problems. But he goes out or she goes out and make other people laugh. But their life is bad. So the point I'm making, the people are comedian or clowns. They are not telling the truth. But Jesus Christ was the real prophet. He was real Messiah. So he was not falling in her trap. He was telling the truth. Because the lady says, I know the Messiah will come. I know you are prophet, but I'm waiting for Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will tell us the truth and he will explain to us everything. Then we will know. What Jesus says, please read verse 26.
Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Jesus said to her, I am that. I am that Messiah. I am the one speaking to you. I am the Messiah. Once she understood, this man sounds like a prophet. He is not interested in me. Even though I told him I'm not married, he is not saying anything about fleshly thing. He has to be man of God. He has to be a Messiah. But Jesus Christ says, you're looking for Messiah? I'm the one. I'm talking to you. I am the Messiah. See what happens. Verse 27.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?
Here, what happens when Jesus Christ is talking to this lady, and then she saw these people coming, disciples coming, 28, please read, and then we'll explain.
The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
When Jesus Christ says, I am the Messiah, this lady might have talked him more, but she saw disciples coming. And when she saw the disciples coming, she just left. She left the pot and everything, and she walked away. When the disciples came, they saw from far when they were walking. You can see from far. You can see maybe 100 yards or 200 yards according to how good your eyes. So they saw, hey, Jesus is talking to some lady. And when they came, and he's still talking. When they say come, so they came so close, that lady left the pot and she went away. So these disciples were a little bit suspicious. If this lady was here, we don't know what she was talking and what Jesus was talking with her. They doubted why this Jesus Christ can talk to one lady alone in this middle of the hot sunny day. But they did not ask him, why you were discussing with her? Why are you talking with her? One thing, she is Samaritan. We should not be dealing with them. Why are you talking to her? They are still prejudiced. They didn't want Jesus Christ talking to her, even though he's talking about salvation. They didn't want him to talk to her about salvation. But all disciples, they start talking to each other, but they did not have courage to ask Jesus what you were talking to her. This is what happens. Some people, when you have sinful life and you are a crooked person, you always think everybody is crooked. In our language, there is saying, if your eyes is yellow, everybody you look, they look yellow to you. So here when these disciples, they were not born again. They were not saved. Only God gave them temporary power to go, and they were doing this thing. This time Jesus Christ said, okay, you go and bring the food. I'll be here at the well. So they left him, and Jesus Christ would have gone with them. But purposely, Jesus did not go to bring food or anything. He sat there. He wanted to talk to this lady without interruption. And he talked to her when she was almost convinced in her heart, this is the Messiah. Now we don't have to look further. So she left the pot as soon as these people arrived. So these people were a little bit thinking something, what he was talking, why he was talking, but they did not have any courage to ask him, being a Jewish man, why are you talking to this Samaritan lady? But they didn't know the word of God says Jesus Christ came from Galilee to Judea, and he wanted to go again to Galilee. First time he came Galilee to Judea, Samaria came in the middle. He did not visit Samaria. So now he is going back to Galilee. But he said, this time I must go through Samaria. Only he knew that he has to talk to somebody in Samaria. And that's the reason Jesus Christ came. But he did not tell his disciples what was his plan, why he is going to Samaria. He just told them, you go and bring the food. So they all went to bring the food. If you'd have two or three people would have gone, other disciples would have stayed. But they all went because they were all hungry and thirsty. They would have gone there, maybe they drank water, they might be bought food. And they're coming here, and now they are a little bit angry or frustrated, but they did not say anything to Jesus Christ. Now they are trying to convince him, we got the food. Let's eat the food. Let's read 30.
Verse 30 says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. 31, in the mean, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat.
They came, they bought the food, and they are asking Jesus Christ, please eat this food. But they did not want to talk to him. Why are you talking to a Samaritan lady? But now they are saying, forget about it. Let's eat the food. It's too late, too tired. We are tired, you are tired. We went and we bought the food. Please eat this food. What Jesus saying? Let's read verse 32.
But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of.
When Jesus Christ is saying, you know what? I have some food and you don't know that food. The disciples are a little bit confused. Is this woman give him a food? Or any other man came and give him food? What happened when we went there and he got the food? Who gave it to him? So they are in puzzle. They want to see what kind of food he got and who gave him a food. Let's read the verse 33.
Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat?
Any person came and gave him food when we are not there, and Jesus Christ already ate the food without us, and we were there hungry and thirsty, and we got the food, and he doesn't care about us. He just, maybe that lady gave him water, and she might have gave, or somebody might have gave him food, and he's already ate and drank, and we suffering and things like that. That's what people think. Without the knowing the truth, people just think in their mind and fight. Some people got some dream, and they come and talk to their husband, hey, I got this dream. Why did you do this? He said, I don't know. What did I do? I saw in my dream that you are talking to another lady. And something like that. And so, even the person is not talking to somebody, somebody thinking, oh, God gave the dream and God told the person that your husband is bad. But this is the devil's thing. Sometimes you cannot judge person because of your dream or because somebody told you something. You cannot just think something and start fighting. Now, these disciples are thinking, somebody gave him a food. He already got the food, and he is already satisfied, and we are hungry and thirsty. Who gave him food? See, Jesus Christ replies, verse 34.
Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.
He's saying, you know what is my food? My food to do the will of God. He sent me to do his work and finish his work. So I am doing his will. You remember Jesus Christ was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil comes and says, hey, you're hungry. Why don't you take this stone and make a bread? Jesus Christ didn't say, hey, you gave me a good idea. I can do that. But he knew if he obeyed the Satan, then Satan will be his master. So Jesus Christ says, you know, it is written, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word proceeded out of the mouth of God, man can live. Man needs the word from God. The word of God has eternal life. And we can live by the word of God. 40 days and 40 nights, he lived without a food. And now the enemy is coming and saying, take this stone and make a bread. The Jesus Christ was saying to this, Sadducees and Pharisees, I am the living bread. I am the bread came from heaven. Your descendants, they ate the manna came from heaven and they died. But God sent me from heaven. I am the living bread. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. It was too hard to hear these things. But if you go and read in St. John chapter 6, we don't have time, verse 35, verse 41, verse 48, verse 51, and verse 58. All these words that Jesus Christ was saying, I am the living bread. This is the bread came from heaven. This bread is, if you eat, you will have eternal life. And the disciples were already listening to these messages. They knew Jesus Christ is the living bread. One time they forgot the bread, and Jesus Christ says, oh, beware of this Pharisee's leaven. So they say, oh, he's talking about the leavened bread. He says, no, don't you know? I made the people bread, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And how many people ate? He said, oh, more than 5,000. How many baskets were there? Oh, 12 baskets. And when I fed 4,000, how many baskets were there? Oh, 7 baskets. Now, why are you people talking about food? I'm not talking about the bread. I'm talking about the leaven of Pharisees. The same way Jesus Christ is saying to these people, you did not understand. I am not hungry for your food. I'm not thirsty for this water from Jacob's well. I have the living water and I have the living bread. So what is my bread? What is my food? Doing the will of God and finishing the job he told me to do it. If you read St. John chapter 17, verse 4, please read.
I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
To disciples, he is saying, I have to finish the work God has given to me. But in 17th chapter, he says to the Father, I have already finished the work you told me to do. Everything what you told me, I have done it. And John chapter 19, verse 30, please read.
When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
On the cross, he said, it is finished. What was finished? Whatever the God told him to do. He came and gave the message. He came and gave his life. He came and gave his blood. And he gave the message of salvation. And he sacrificed his life for mankind. Now he says, it is finished. And so he is telling to disciples, you don't know my food. My food is to do the will of God. And my food is to finish the job God told me to do. Let's go back to the St. John chapter 4, verse 35.
Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
He's telling disciples, you know what? People are thinking the harvest time will come and then the harvest will be ready to harvest. Means everything will be white. The greenness goes away and the corns or the wheat comes and the field looks white. So he said, you know, the time has come. You people say it will take 4 months, but I'm telling you, it's already ready. The harvest is ready. The time of reaping is already here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38, please read.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Look at these people. Look at the multitudes of people. The harvest is ready. Somebody has to go and do this his harvesting job. But we need more people. Pray to the Father that he will send some workers more in the field to do the harvest. So now same thing is telling these people. You people are thinking the harvest time is a little bit 4 months. Let me tell you, the harvest is already ready. St. John chapter 4, start reading from verse 36.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors.
Harvest is ready. I told you in the beginning the laborers are few, but now you're with me. Look at the harvest. Look at the people. And they might have seen the whole Samaria coming to Jesus Christ to this well. And those people wear the white clothes. All the men, they will wear white clothes and tie something on their head white. So when you see hundreds and thousands of people coming, they look like the harvest is ready. So he is saying, now you have to be ready to the harvest. And he says, when you do the harvesting job, somebody planted, and you are doing harvest. The person who plants and person do harvest, they're both going to get the same kind of blessings. So he is saying, now I already sowed. Means he sowed the word of God in that lady's heart. Now she's going and telling somebody. And now people are ready for the harvest. So he's trying to say, I need your help. All these people are there. We have to talk to them. We have to minister to them. This is the time of harvest. That's the reason I came. I was tired and weary. I wanted to go to Galilee, but I took time to come to Samaria. Now you should know what I was talking to this lady. I was not talking to this lady anything else. I was talking to her about salvation. I was making her ready for the harvest. And now this lady went and bought all these people. Now we have to talk with them. We have to minister to them. I don't need your food. My food is the doing the will of God. I am not hungry. I'm not thirsty. At that particular time, he did not drink anything. At that particular time, he did not eat anything. He did not say, let's hurry, these people are coming. Let's eat food now. We will not have time to eat. But he did not eat the food. He did not drink the water. His food and his drink was doing the will of God. Today, many people are serving the Lord for the food. The word of God says they're preaching for their belly. And in India, I'm not condemning somebody, but in India, you see, some of the pastors' belly is too big. Why? Because they go into every house, and every house they make a feast, and they eat, and their belly becomes so big. Instead of living long time, they die soon also. We are here not only eat and drink and be happy and think that all kinds of food make people happy. There are some people hours and hours journey to find a restaurant and eat. If you ask them, they know all the restaurants in town. They have tasted all the food in all different restaurants, and they are not satisfied. They're living for food alone. And that's why some people start eating the food in the restaurant and they choke and they die. We need food to survive, but we don't live for food alone. We have to live for God. Whatever God gives you, even the raw bread and the glass of water, you will not die. God is concerned about you and your food and your health. But you don't go after food and after worldly things. We go after God, and God satisfies us. So Jesus Christ is teaching these disciples, you know what? You're thinking about food and water, but I have living water. I have living bread. My job is to preach the gospel, and you do the same. I have already planted now. The harvest time has come. So let's look and see the harvest and see what happens. Verse 39.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did.
You know what? This lady came to us she told us and she testified and witnessed to us that you were talking with her, and she said, in my life, whatever the sin I committed, she told me all. Jesus only told her, I had a five husband, and now is with you, is not your husband. But other things Jesus Christ told her, it is not written here. But she said to those people, whatever I did in my life, all kinds of sin, Jesus Christ told me all. And so they came to know who is that kind of person, knows everything about the person and the lady. She said, he's a Messiah. And so they believed her and they came. Verse 40.
So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days.
Those people said, this lady came and told us, you told her everything about her. Come to our town. Live with us. Tell us more what you told this lady. We want to know more about you. So the Jesus Christ goes to that town and stays 2 days. Can you imagine? The Jewish people did not have any dealing with them. They should not be eating their food. They should not be drinking their water. They should not be talking to them. But the Jesus Christ, the first one, he said, I'm going to come. Come to your village and stay with you 2 days. And Jesus went. So the disciples, they have to go with him. And Jesus went with them. Okay, let's read verse 41.
And many more believed because of his own word.
The word of God says, many more believed because his own word. Some people might have said, oh, this lady is a bad lady. She's a prostitute. She had five husbands. And she is telling us what Jesus said. But when they came and said, she told us something, but we want to know more about. So when Jesus Christ went to their town, the word of God says, many more believed. I don't know how many believed. Maybe whole town believed. But many more believed Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And let's read the verse 42.
Said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
They are saying to this lady, we are grateful to you that you told about Messiah, and we came, and we called Jesus Christ to come to our town, and now he stayed with us 2 days, and he explained us everything. Now, we don't have to believe what you said, but we believe what Jesus Christ said. And now we believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, not only for us, but he is the Savior of the whole world. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is not only our Savior. He is the Savior of the whole world. So you can see, Jesus Christ gave the message. He did not say, okay, let me argue with this lady and tell her about her sin. She would have gone without listening to him. And if he would have said to disciples, you are thinking evil about me, and he start arguing, fighting with them, there will be no peace. The point I'm making, when you serving the Lord, there are all kinds of obstacles will come. All kinds of problem will come. But the word of God says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. When we're running for the race, don't look left or right. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, take all this heavy load and then run the race. So we are here in this world. We will have all kinds of obstacles, but we have to learn what Jesus Christ teaches others. We learned last week, Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus and how he gently told him about the salvation plan and how he got saved and how his life changed. Today we are learning how we talk to this lady even though she had five husbands, she was a bad lady, but he did not condemn her, but he gave the message of salvation and revealed to her that I am Messiah. And she goes and tells others, and they came and they received Jesus Christ as their Messiah, their Lord. And they said he is not only our Savior, he's the Savior of the whole world. So what we should do? When we learn about Jesus Christ, don't keep it to yourself. Do what this lady did. She left the pot. She went and told other people, but she never blamed Jesus Christ. You did not allow me to get water. What kind of man is this? I am hungry and thirsty. The disciples also were thinking like that. He did not fight with them. He did not argue with them. He has only one focus. I came here to do the will of Father, and I want to win the soul. So same way, if you are saved, you go and tell somebody how Jesus saved you. And if somebody didn't receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the first time they heard this gospel, please call upon Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart. You came from heaven. You died for me. You shed your precious blood. You washed me with your precious blood. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And give me grace to live for you and for your glory. If you pray this prayer, your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in heaven. And you belong to God. So let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We commit our lives into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
Amen.